Okay. Well, I sort of set myself a bit of target. I know a few weeks ago we started talking about golden nuggets, rather than 20, 30, 40 minutes of chit chat. I mean, TED Talks are they're well known for 15, 20 minutes. And Faith did such a beautiful job last week in sharing from Psalm 27, which is so good. And if you've not listened to it, it's on the website. So do take a listen, because it was 10, 15 minutes of real sharp, great nuggets. And I'm going to try and copy you. But the only way I can do that is by actually following some notes. But I'm not quite confident, so I'll keep it to 10 minutes. But there we go. Anyway, stop the rambling. I too am going to talk from Psalm 27, because it is one of my favorite Psalms, especially in verses 13 and 14. And when I was thinking about what to say this week, I knew I wanted to follow up Faith with Psalm 27. But it's such a powerful psalm in that David's going through a really rough time. He's facing challenges on all fronts, and we're all facing challenges on all fronts. But how he deals with these challenges is, I think, is a great message for us. And again, when I was thinking about this, in actual fact, when we were coming from the car this morning, I always remember. Over there, you can probably see there's a sale over there, but I think they've started using part of the land here for camping purposes. And back in the day, probably almost 10 years ago, that probably wasn't 10 years ago, it's probably more like it was pre-COVID, put it that way. Sometimes I get lost with time and I can say, okay, I know it was pre-COVID, but there was a thing called Catch the Wave in Tunbridge. And it goes back almost 10 years when all the ministers in the town gathered together and were praying together and decided to split certain aspects of Christian ministry in the town. And one of them was children and youth. Jen and I have got some experience with that type of ministry. And we said, okay, we'd look after the youth in the town. The idea was that all the churches have their own ministries and do their own thing. But we did start to look, which was incredibly healthy, which I would love to get back to. That's my real heart for this town, to come back together in ministries together and find that sort of common ground, as it were. And that's why we're doing the evenings of worship, in my view. Anyway, just to go back to that meeting with the ministers, it was really quite powerful that all the guys were saying, okay, we want this for the greater good of the town. Jen and I said, okay, we'll put our hand up. We'll get together with the youth leaders in the town to come together and put something for the collective youth of Tunbridge. I'm going to be longer than 10 minutes at this rate. But I think it's important to actually recount that story, because it was a thought of unity for the greater thing for the town and the community, not just individual churches. And over there, we used to meet in the various churches in town, where most of the youth from all the churches from the town used to come together and come and worship him. And one of the youth pastors would give a message. But then we had an outdoor event out there, which was incredible. It was just so good. It took a lot of organization, but to have an evening of worship and a shared message with young people, there probably were 60 odd young kids. And to be honest, it was a little bit of a nightmare, because even though we put tape around the area, there were kids going into the woods. And it wasn't our responsibility, it was the youth leader's responsibility to try and keep these kids around. But all that to say, really, out of that gathering of the young leaders, one young lady came up with the strap line. And it really was from Psalm 27 about the goodness, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That was, if you like, the strap line for Catch the Wave, with the youth coming together, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So when Faith started to talk about this, it just reminded me of that. So that's just a story, just to whet our appetite, really. And as you know, I love surfing. Well, bodyboarding. I've tried surfing. Didn't work. I thought I could surf, but I can't. But I love catching the wave. And I believe there's waves, more waves coming. And we've got to be ready for it. It may come in a very different format from revivals, waves in the past, but we've got to be ready. And I know I've shared this before, but I love it when you get into the water and you turn around and you can see this wave. I'm going to catch that one. And it's all about timing. It's all about willing to actually commit to it. But that's why I like bodyboarding, because there is that point where you know you're on this wave and it is taking you somewhere. You've committed to it. You've seen it. You've committed to it and you're on it. And the thrill of it is amazing. And I think what we've heard in the last few days when we were at this meeting with other church leaders in and around the UK is that there is stuff happening. We may not see it, and there are challenges for our country, challenges for our churches, but there are sovereign moves of God. May not be announced, may not be necessarily heard, but there are sovereign moves of God that are happening in churches and other ministries. So we need to be encouraged by that, and we need to be ready. We need to be in the water with our bodyboards, ready to catch the wave. Right. Let's make this meeting legal by talking about some scripture, shall we? Psalm 27, and I'm reading from the Amplified version, but I want you to think about two words. One is posture, and the other is confidence. Two words, posture and confidence. And we'll read through a lot of Psalm 27, but I want you to think about what is David's posture in this particular psalm. What is his posture in what's happening in his life? And that somehow within him, he's got this amazing confidence. So verse 1 says this. This is from the Amplified version. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come up against me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, even then, in this will I be confident. So as I said earlier, David's having a bit of a rough time. There's lots of things happening in his life. But that last line of that particular portion of scripture, in this will I be confident. In this, what is the in this I will be confident? It's really back to right at the start of that verse 1. There's a declaration, or there are declarations going on here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So it's a declaration. The Lord is the refuge and stronghold. So, and what I prayed earlier, it's that one thing. That's where his focus in. He didn't deny that there's a problem, there's an issue in not only his own life, but what's coming against him. He was having a rough time, but he literally knew, because his heart was for the Lord, he knew that his focus had to change off of him, off of what was going on, but on God. So there's sort of a few other things I just want to pick out. Verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek. And I think I mentioned this last week. That word seek is to go after, to seek, but especially in worship and prayer. So theologians have looked at some of these words, which, you know, in the English language, we don't have, or we say one word, seek. But there are other interpretations, other translations, which will expand on that. And that's what that word seek means, especially in worship. to inquire for and insistently require that I might dwell in the house of the Lord and in his presence all the days of my life, not just on a Thursday or a Sunday morning, all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. For the day of trouble will hide me in, he will hide me in his shelter, in the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. His focus has changed. And I think as followers of Jesus, I mean, this is a great example. This is one great example that David gives, that the one thing I seek is to follow after him. Seek him, seek him. So there's a shift that goes on here for David. You know, he's gone from panic, what's going on around me, to I'm going to come back to God. I'm going to come back and sit with God. I'm going to seek him first. So in other words, it's like proximity. Where am I going to go? Am I going to be on my own here thinking I'm going to sort this out? Or am I going to go and sit with God in his tabernacle and find out the answers? And when we face challenges, sometimes we just want to find an exit strategy straight away. We want to run away from the problem. Or we want to control it or manipulate certain situations. But David doesn't do that. He goes back to God. So this first thing he does is go back to God. And I was thinking also, okay, what's a New Testament application of this? But you think of Mary and Martha. You know, Jesus comes to their house, and Martha's running around making a sandwich that Jesus never ordered. But you've got Mary, who's just sat there at his feet. She was the one, she knew where to go, sit at Jesus' feet, not run around and do things. It's something that he may not want. So the message is seeking him first. Verse 5, from the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent will he hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies around about me. In his tent I will offer sacrifices, shouting for joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. There's a lot of he and his in that. Again, the point is seeking him first. And when it says at the end of that verse 6, I will sing praises to the Lord. The word praises has several different meanings in the Bible. In this one, the word is zamar, Z-A-M-A-R. And that means to strike the strings with fingers. Now we know, or if you didn't know, David was a musician. He played the guitar. That was his sweet spot. And we can read stories of him, you know, out in the fields as the shepherd of these sheep playing his guitar. That was his sweet spot, his place. And the question I felt the Lord asking me is, where's your sweet spot? Where's your place, Pete? Where is your place where you can come and praise me? It could be on the boat. I can recall times going back in years at the River Centre when there were some challenging times, and I used to get in there early and I used to get on the keyboard on the stage and just play keyboard, worship. It changed. It just changed my day completely. But you may have a different sweet spot, whatever that might be, maybe a certain walk somewhere or a certain book, whatever that might be. I think God wants you to find and know where that sweet spot is, where you can commune with him, where you can spend time with him. So he does the complete opposite of many times when we just want to actually change things and do things, control things, manipulate things, run away. He changes it completely. He changes it. I'm just going to praise you. My gaze, my fix, my place where it is, or whatever it is, I'm going to sit with you. And just recapping, I won't recap actually because Faith's message was so good. But there are a couple of things that she picked up. One of the things was from the Amplified version, verse 8, I believe it was, that it was vital. It is vital. Mm-hmm. That we seek his presence. It's vital. I'm just going to leave that there. Then, just moving into verse 13. What would have become of me when I read that in the week? I thought, what would have happened to me? What would have happened to us if we hadn't given our lives to Jesus? Do you ever think about that? Would I have coped? Maybe I would. I don't know, in our human way, we probably can, but was it right, is the question. Was that the best that the God had for me, for Jen, our kids, our family?
Probably wouldn't have made 45 years.
I know. This time,
just saying, everyone.
This time 45 years ago, we could have been on a plane to Corfu to celebrate our wedding. That's the word. And the evening before, I know it's time, I know I've gone over 10, I've blown 10 minutes, so let's go for it. So the evening before, who remembers the film James Bond, For Your Eyes Only? This is a really gushy, gooey moment. But that was, we stayed in a hotel, straight from the reception, we stayed in this hotel. And the local cinema in Crawley was For Your Eyes Only. So we went to see that, didn't we?
Because I was for your
eyes. You were, yeah. Yeah, so moving swiftly on, and 45 years later, yeah. And I know there's people in this room that have been married a lot longer.
Yeah.
Bob, Mike, how many years, Mike? Yeah, Mike. 51, yeah.
I would have been 50 this year.
50? Lynn, you're quite a number, aren't you?
Oh, 40.
40? Yeah. It's only a number.
10 years now.
10 years, okay.
Double figures. We're 23.
23?
Oh,
that is crazy. So the final point, these are shifts in our posture in certain things. So the final one is moving from a place of, okay, I'm getting impatient with this, I've got to wait. We can all get impatient, can't we? We can always step in and just do things. But in that particular verse 13 and 14, it says this: wait, what would have come of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait and hope for and expect. In other translation, it talks about being confident, a confident expectancy of the Lord. Be brave. We need to be brave. And of good courage. We need courage. And let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. So I think David ends here by, he's almost incredibly honest, I think, because he thinks he could probably do things or do something, but he switches completely. His posture is, no, I'm going to think about God. What are you saying to me? And if I have to wait, I wait. That word wait, in the original language, is to bind yourself, bind with others. So you could actually look and say, I'm going to bind myself with God, or I'm going to bind myself with fellow believers to wait. So if there's issues, binding together is really, really powerful. But firstly, binding with God. So what would have become of me, David says. So he's almost on the edge of giving up. That's what it says to me. I'm almost giving up here. But he talks about his faith in God. So he commands, he talks to himself. And there's this great guy that we used to listen to a lot, Steve Backlund, and he said, "You're crazy if you don't speak to yourself. You are crazy if you don't speak to yourself."
Yep.
And it's a really true word. If you don't speak to yourself spiritually, encouraging yourself, and then declaring who God says you are, not what the world says you are. So wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, wait for the Lord. Wait with confidence and expect to see God's goodness. So somehow through all of the situation that's happening around him, he's got this incredible confidence, but that confidence only comes by going to seek him first. That's my encouragement to myself and to you guys, is to seek him first. And many years ago, we had this amazing guy called Sapraza Sutoli come and speak to us a few times at, when we were at the college, in fact. And I can't remember a lot of what he said, but he said these three words, which I remembered. Waiting is worship. And at the time, I thought, well, hang on a minute. I mean, I'm sort of quite active. Sometimes it's difficult to wait. But he said, waiting is worship. Waiting on the Lord is worship, which is giving worth to God. Trust, yeah. And over the years, that's got a deeper, deeper, deeper meaning. But waiting is worship. Waiting, binding yourself to God, seeking him first in all things. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for David's life. Thank you that he was so real and struggled, had challenges. But I thank you that he was seen as a man after God's own heart. And I pray, Lord, that we do seek you first in all things. And that we do posture ourselves every single moment of the day to find that spot which is so precious to you and to each one of us as we seek your face, as we seek your presence, as we seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us to be patient when we need to be patient. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.